Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Now, seldom has an on-the-couch interview felt quite as surreal to me as this one does today. Because many moons ago, in my early 20s, when I made the decision to follow the love of my life to Cape Town, I went knocking on the door of every radio station and media outlet in this town, trying to find a job. And the door that opened led me into a job doing the news at a local music radio station. And it was in that studio that I first heard two things. One was Cape Jazz, and the other was the name Clarence Ford, and it was spoken with a degree of reverence for his encyclopedic music knowledge and his ability to just connect with people over the airwaves. I worked there for about 6 years, and in that time I got to experience his passion not just for the music of the Cape, but for the people of the Cape, and to share the excitement as ventures like the Cape Town International Jazz Festival took off, providing a platform to showcase our incredible talent to the world. So here we are 23 years later, and Jazz and Clarence still go together like peas and carrots, but now we're going to throw some talk into the mix as well, and I hope you know what you're in for, Cape Town, as he prepares to take the reins on our mid-morning show from the beginning of October. It is an immense pleasure to call him a colleague again and to invite him to join me on the show today to introduce him to those of you who don't know him yet. Clarence, it's a long time ago. It's making me feel a little bit old, but it's also really just so strange to be talking to you from this side of the microphone and to say welcome to the Cape Talk family and congrats on the new show.
And thank you for that wonderful welcome, people. I can promise you it's an immense pleasure to be your colleague again as well. I think those 23 years were pretty trying for you, especially. I mean, you were dumped into the deep end and you swam like you could, man. It was amazing what you achieved on that side as well.
Thanks, Clarence. Yeah, it's a long time ago now, but they were there. There was a roller coaster time in radio, wasn't it? And I mean, you have ridden it really from the start, Clarence. More than 30 years in the business, and you have been there to witness radio's transformation from the state leviathan it was under the apartheid government to the transformation of the airwaves, the licensing of the first greenfield stations in the early 90s. You were one of the first black voices to be heard on air on previously all-white stations, for one thing. And you've worked, although we sort of think of you as synonymous with Cape Town, you've actually worked not just across the country, but in fact, I think many might not know that your career began in Namibia on the airwaves, didn't it?
That is correct. And I think, you know, my career in radio has certainly been a serendipitous one. I was in the right place at the right time, 1990, Namibia. I was in retail management, and the Namibian Broadcasting Corporation needed to transform in much the same way as the South African Broadcasting Corporation needed to. So I was, in fact, the very first black presenter on the English service of Radio Namibia.
Yep.
And that was a great experience. And then they also gave me an opportunity on the national service, and the bug bit.
So the bug bit then, I mean, but hadn't you always thought of working in the industry, Clarence? I know this was a dream you'd harbored a little nugget inside because so much of you were so passionate about music.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, some people were just a little more equal than others in this country not too long ago. And I did want to, and I think that dream was sparked by Dimitri Jagels, who's a real trailblazer in the industry. I saw a picture of him and I thought, oh, if he can do it, then I can do it too. And at school, I would always hog the mic. I would always be talking to the students and mobilizing them. So it's something that I really wanted to do, but it wasn't easy to get in. Yeah. Not for somebody with my skin color at the time. I did, in fact, go to the SABC. I did go on a development and training course, and I thought that I had maybe a foot in the door, but they did tell me after that development and training course that I didn't have the talent for the job, and then I found retail management and I gave up on the dream.
And Ren, there you find yourself reading the radio adverts for the products, and someone says you've got a good voice for radio, and the wheel turns.
That's how I got into the SABC. I was a training manager at Pick and Pay in Sun Valley, and I would do the sales promotion with a microphone. Onions, 29 cents a kilo. You know, that hawker in me was, it's in my DNA. And I would really kind of do good promotions. And I, you know, when I take over department of sales, it kind of go up because of me and the mic. And this guy walks up to me in the store and he tells me, listen, you've got a really good voice. The SABC are looking for voices. And that's how I got into that development and training course at the SABC, which of course ended in nothing.
You had the last laugh, though, certainly. Clarence, I'm going to put pause on the radio career and ask you to take us a little bit further back in the life story of Clarence Ford. If I recall correctly, you were born on April Fool's Day. You've been nobody's fool, though, from day one. Clarence, born in District 6, but it wouldn't have been very long that you were able to stay in District 6.
Yes, it wasn't. I think my grandparents had been served by the time that I was born, and there was a lot of anxiety about the impending forced removals. But I'm one of the last generation that has a physical memory of the space. And I mean, you won't believe just how strong your sense of smell is. I can still remember that smell of urine on the staircase, because my granny lived on the fourth floor and there wasn't such a thing as a lift in Bloemhof Flats Block G. So, and I would walk with my grandfather to the city, to the old OK Bazaars in Adley Street or the OK Bazaars in Plain Street, and I know those walks inevitably would end up in a little present for me. So I have fond memories of District 6, the sense of community from a toddler's kind of perspective. And of course, feeling the anxiety of the impending forced removal.
Where were you removed to, Clarence? Where did you spend your formative years?
So I grew up literally in Grassy Park in Parkwood, in a working class community. I went to Montague's Gift Primary School and to Livingston eventually.
Livingston, I know, a place that had a huge impact on you and on Dimitri as well, if I remember correctly. He was also at school there, wasn't he?
That is correct.
Yeah.
It's amazing what Livingstonians had accomplished. I was just telling my English teacher in Standard 8 a few minutes ago, I was telling him I walked into Livingston as a coloured and I walked out as a human being. They really opened my mind about the world. Livingston had, and the teachers were committed to, you know, really bringing up a kind of a holistic education that gave you a sense of your belonging. And I think that was important. You know, the kind of social engineering that we've seen in this particular city, some say it's the worst social engineering that any city has seen in the world. And there's a lot of stuff that you need to unwork and unlearn. And I think Livingston was a great conduit to that.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, if you are not recognising the voice today, you will very soon, because Clarence Ford, my former and now future colleague, is joining me on the couch today. He is about to take over the mid-morning show from the beginning of October when Leicester moves on to breakfast, and so excited to have him be part of the Cape Talk family and to have the chance to work with him again more than 20 years after we last worked together. Clarence, I mean, the work in radio and the work in radio in Cape Town in particular, you have immersed yourself in your love of jazz and shared it with the city and done so much to promote our music and to build the local jazz culture. I'm thinking from the opening of your club, Mannenberg's, in the early 90s, to you being one of the driving forces who got the Cape Town International Jazz Festival up and running, going on to establish events like Jazz on the Rocks, which has just grown and grown and grown over the years. I mean, where does that passion for the music start? Is it something you grew up with, or is it something that you discovered through your work in radio?
Well, I think it started at Livingston. I mean, my English teacher at Livingston sat us down and we had to listen to Supertramp's The Logical Song, which is a song about life. And I just thought it was a boring song. So they transformed my mind in terms of how to appreciate music. And then I encountered African jazz at the University of the Western Cape, and that would further captivate my imagination. And I think from that day forth, you'd either find me in a jazz club, or since 1994, I've been pretty active on that particular front. It's not necessarily a sensible business, people. They say if you want to make a million from jazz, you got to start off with 2 million.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a little shot across the bow, just in case somebody was thinking of doing it. It is a labor of love, and there's a lot of joy to be found in it.
Well, I guess we can all thank our lucky stars that there was no such profession as a professional klavijas player, Clarence. Otherwise, we'd never have got you on the airwaves in the first place.
No, I think some of the better klavijas players are also psychic, and I lack in that ability too. But it is a pastime that I encountered and fell in love with at the University of the Western Cape. So, yeah, apart from my PhD, passed high school with difficulty, I also got a master's in klavijas.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Your music radio background, obviously steeped and well experienced and decades under your belt. You've always, though, along the way, Clarence, interspersed the music with hard-hitting interviews, with engagement with the audience. I know you had the chance to interview Madiba several times. I remember you talking about that. So you're no stranger to being on the side of the interviewer in a studio. Still, though, it's a different beast to be taking on a three-hour talk show with no playlist attached to it. How are you feeling about the new show? I mean, are there nerves in there, or are you just excited to be let loose on the mic again?
There's both. I'm excited and petrified at the same time, because I've literally grown up with Cape Talk, and I've been a bit of a plagiarist. I've taken show content from Cape Talk and onto other radio stations because I thought more listeners than just Cape Talk listeners should listen. So I've always been there. I mean, John Maytham was there in 1997. I've been there through it all. I look forward to getting out of a meeting or getting into my car because Cape Talk is always happening, and it's informed my mind in so very many ways. To be behind the microphone to do what these amazing people have done for the past 25 years is an intimidating prospect, because I really admire, respect the intellect. I respect the emotional intelligence. I respect the kind of questions that you guys place in our minds. I really appreciate the personal kind of learning. And now it's my responsibility to further that kind of legacy. It's an intimidating prospect.
We can't wait to see what you do with it, Clarence. I know you're going to soar. Tell us a little bit more about what you've got planned for the show. I understand it's going to be called Views and News.
It's Views and News. And I think, music is a pretty safe bet, because you've got a 50% chance of getting it wrong, somebody really disliking it and calling your names. But when you're talking about news and views, you've got, 4.5 million people in this province, and therefore you've got 4.5 million views on any given thing. And everybody's right. And people get really aggro when you confront them or when you challenge their thoughts sometimes.
Yeah.
So it is intimidating. But I want to understand, and I think if there's a bit of wisdom that was shared to me a long time ago by Gordon Oliver, who used to be a mayor of the city, he said, Clarence, you teach best what you most want to learn. And I think it neutered my arrogance permanently. Whenever I get onto a soapbox, I'm like, what is it that you need to understand about this thing that you're on a tangent about? So I think maybe there's a lot of experience under the belt for me to be able to deal with divergent viewpoints and maybe to find some kind of common ground, or at least to respect the difference.
Yeah. A couple of listener questions coming in from some listeners who are very excited to have you in the stable, Clarence. One of them asking, is Sister coming to Cape Talk too? Sister's away in the Middle East, I think, last time I heard.
Yeah, hell no. I think first response, and Sister was in fact part of Cape Talk in the early days, and I didn't quite take to Sister, but don't tell anybody that.
Okay, so that's a solid no, I'm afraid. And then the second
Sister needed to speak Afrikaans, and I just couldn't hear Sister coming through in English, if you know what I mean. It comes through in the vernacular, and it just didn't make sense in English, so I didn't think it was well cast, or she was well cast.
Okay. She's had her day in the sun, though, for
She's
sure.
She's had her day.
Okay. And then somebody asking the more the musical question, can we still sing along, please, Clarence? I mean, obviously music is going to be part and woven into the fabric of the show, Clary. It wouldn't be your show without any music.
Absolutely. I think in much the same way, but it's not going to predominate. It's going to be news and views. But in much the same way that teacher exploded my understanding of the logical song by Supertramp, I want to introduce such features. Do you know what this guy had written about, or this woman had written about? Listen to the song. Listen to what you're saying. So there's going to be that kind of interaction, but obviously it's not going to be a whole set of it. But I do want to draw people closer to this love affair that I have with music generally, and the kind of stuff that fires me up about songs.
I can't wait to tune in and hear your voice, Clarence. It's going to be so great having you in the building, and best of luck to you in the new role from 9 to 12, starting at the beginning of October. You'll be able to listen to Mr. Clarence Ford as part of the Cape Talk team. Clary, thanks for making time to join us on my show today, and I can't wait to listen to yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Pippa. I love you. Looking forward to seeing you.
You too.
Lots of you. Okay.
Take care until then. There we go. So that's what's happening come the beginning of October. Bit of musical chairs next week. I'm going to be filling in on breakfast while Rafilwe gets to put her feet up and breathe for the first time in how long. I'll just take care of the breakfast show for next week only. And then Lester steps in his new role from the beginning of October, followed by Clarence between 9 and 12. I hope you're going to enjoy listening to him as much as I am.